Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. Adults and teenagers, if you want to find Matthew chapter 20 in your Bible, Matthew chapter 20, that's where we're going to be at this week as we continue looking at our story or our series called The King and the Kingdom. I want to tell Pastor Joe, I told him personally, I'll tell him publicly, thank you so much. It's always, I tell you what, I've been in places and been in ministry where you kind of had to cross your fingers and figure out what you was going to have to clean up the next week after somebody preached for you. But it's always a privilege to know that Pastor Joe is there and will do an amazing job. So I appreciate him continuing our series, and we're going to do it today as we look at how does the kingdom operate. Now, we kind of touched on this idea several weeks ago. Remember, we've looked for, this will be the fourth week, we've seen how the king is Jesus is like no other king in the fact that He, as we mentioned, He operates like no other kingdom, which we'll look at in detail today. How He rode in with good news like no other king. How He was coronated like no other king. How He had all the authority, right, and responsibility to use for Himself, but instead He gave all that away. Last week, Pastor Joe talked about the parable of the wedding feast where the people come in and some He invites people and then they don't want to come in and He has other people who do want to come in and how all that relates to the kingdom. And so today we're going to look at the parable that's the laborers in the vineyard. That's kind of the title of the parable, laborers in the vineyard. Before we do, let's go ahead and read our memory verse for this month. All right, we got one more week in this one. Is everybody ready? All right, I got a little slow this morning. All right, here we go. John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. All right. So let me give you this. This is free. I don't know if this is on your outline this morning. If you didn't get an outline and you want one, they're in the back. You can run up and go grab one now. You're not going to hurt my feelings or anything. But let me give you, this is free. Okay, so I don't think I put this on your outline. Whenever you read a parable in Scripture, really whenever you read Scripture in general, but whenever you read a parable, you need to ask yourself three questions, maybe four. Three, at least three. Number one, you need to ask yourself, what stories are around this story? Right? Because remember, you never, ever, ever want to read the Bible in isolation from the rest of the Bible. You know what happens if you do that? Heresy. And we don't want anybody to be a heretic, right? We want everybody to be orthodox and have good theology and good Bible knowledge, all right? So the first question you'd ask yourself is, what stories are around this story? Because that provides literary context. You say, Pastor Travis, I'm not an English person. You don't have to be an English major. You don't have to know a lot about English to ask yourself, what stories are around this story? We'll talk about that in a minute. Second question you need to ask yourself is, what in the parable do I need to know about? What I mean by that is, what social or historical thing is Jesus talking about that I need to know more about? So for example, if we were to read the parable of the sower, which is also in Matthew and in some other Gospels, you need to know how farmers farmed in Jesus' day. There were no tractors. There were mules and horses and donkeys that pulled implements, and they broadcast seed by throwing it out of a sack. That's important because if you don't know that, you don't understand how did the seed get where it gets. Well, it's because literally they threw the seed indiscriminately of where it would land, right? So today, there's a couple social or historical things you need to know more about. You say, well, Pastor Travis, if I'm not in church and I read one of these parables, where do I find this stuff? It's this amazing thing called the internet, right? You just Google it. Google it, right? Now, you got to be careful a little bit, but Google it. You can find some stuff. If you want, we're going to talk about a vineyard or viticulture, or I think it's how you say it, viticulture, something like that. Anyway, it's growing grapes for wine. If you're like, hey, I want to know more about that in the first century, Google it. You can find out more than you got an afternoon to spend to reading about it, okay? So, first question, what stories are around this story? Second question, what's in the parable, social historical thing, do I need to know more about? And then number three, you need to ask yourself, what is this parable about? What is the main point that Jesus is trying to get across today? And I'm going to add a fourth for today, because today Jesus is specifically speaking to the disciples. What is Jesus trying to get the disciples to understand? All right, so let's go one more time. What stories around this story? What social historical things do I need to know more about? Number three, what's Jesus' main point? And for today, what idea is Jesus trying to get the disciples to understand? Or what application, that may be a better word to say, is Jesus trying to get the disciples to understand? All right, so let's go down this forward. Number one, what stories are around this story? That's a great question because it really plays into why Jesus even tells this parable. And if you were to go back and you were to read all the way back at the beginning of chapter 19, you would see that Jesus is teaching, and then some Pharisees come up, and then some other things happen, and Jesus gets in this conversation with them. And then all of a sudden in chapter 19, verse 16... okay, chapter 19, verse 16, a famous story that a lot of us have heard. If you haven't heard, you're going to hear the Cliff Notes version of it today, or Spark Notes, whatever y'all kids use today. Here it is. This guy approaches Jesus. He has a lot of money. And he says, hey, Jesus, what do I do to get in the kingdom of heaven? Like, how do I make it to heaven? And Jesus says, hey, you need to do this and this, which is basically love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbors as yourself. Jesus says, keep the law and the prophets. And the guy says, hey, Jesus, I've done that since I was a kid. And Jesus responds with, go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then, and you know what the scripture says? Shockingly, it says, the guy walked away because he had much wealth. Now, the shocking part, and we don't have time to go into this today, is that Jesus doesn't run after him and say, wait, I didn't mean to say that. Jesus said it, dude walks away, that's the end of the story, right? So after the disciples are with Jesus, the 12 are right there with Jesus. They hear the entire conversation. They see this guy come up, and you can see it in their mind. Man, we know we're sleeping outside now. Here we go. We fixing to make it big. Big offering today. Won't have to worry about paying our bills. And Jesus says, go sell everything. And you're like, no. Whoa, time out. Rein it back in, Jesus. Maybe he just sell half of what he has. Can we do that? A quarter, maybe 3/8? Can we learn it? Jesus says, no, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. And you can imagine the shock, because what the disciples say next tells you they are in shock at what happens. Because they're like, oh my gosh. And Jesus lets the guy walk away. And then if you read on down, in verse 23, Jesus says, truly, truly, I tell you, only with difficulty will the rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. And he says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And then the disciples are like, well, who can be saved then? And then Jesus says, with man, everything is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. And then Peter says, and this is the question that launches Jesus into the text that we're going to read and talk about today. Peter says, but Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. And then Jesus tells this story in Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. You can read in your Bible, or you can read in here, or it's on your notes. Here we go. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the market. Good place. There we go. Verse 4. And to them he said, you go into the vineyard too. Whatever else is right, I will give you. So they went, going out again about the sixth hour. And the ninth hour, he did the same. Meaning, he hired more people, sent them in the vineyard. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? And they said, because no one has hired us. I mean, nobody given us a job. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. All right, so the people who were the 11th hour hirees, he paid them first. Then he went, you know, to the ones he hired first. And when those, listen to this, and when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. That's one day's worth of wage. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius, one day's worth of work. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he, that's the master, replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? The answer to that question is yes. Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Answer to that question is absolutely yes. Or do you begrudge my generosity? Answer to that question, yes, you have. So, here's Jesus' last words. So he's coming out of the parable. This is his last closing statement. So, the last will be first, and the first last. All right, so you got the story? Jesus is teaching. Rich guy comes up. Jesus says, hey, you like one thing, go sell everything, give it to the poor. The disciples are like, oh, wait a minute, who can be saved? Well, with man, things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. And Peter says, but Jesus, we have left everything. And Jesus says, wait a minute, right? Wait a minute. Now, remember I said there are two questions you need to answer, or four. The first two are, what stories are in this story? We've already covered that one. Second one is, what's in the story that I need to know about? Here's what's in the story that you need to know about, right? Because this is how culture worked in Jesus' day. So Jesus tells a story that would have been very familiar to the people of someone owning a vineyard, okay? A rather large one, you can imagine by the number of workers this guy hires. So what he does is the master of a vineyard has this vineyard, and it's obviously kind of like harvest season. So the grapes are ready, and they got to be picked, or they'll go bad for making wine, right? It's that time of year. So what he does is he goes to the local marketplace, and people who didn't have steady jobs would stand at an area in the marketplace and wait for somebody who needed work to come say, hey, I need some workers. Who wants to work? So he starts out by going at the very beginning of the day, which would have been roughly 6 a.m. He goes to the marketplace. There's some guys there. He says, hey, I need y'all. Y'all come with me. Then he goes out. It says about the third hour. That's 9. Okay. He goes to the marketplace. See some more. Hey, I need y'all. Come on. Sends them on. Then it says he goes the 12th, the 6th, and the 11th. So that's, he goes at 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 p.m., and 5. You got how that goes? All right. So he goes at all those hours, and every time he says, hey, what are y'all doing? Y'all got any work? No. I need y'all to come with me. And he sends waves of workers back to the vineyard because he's got to get the product in or he loses it, right? Okay. So that's what you need to know about the story to kind of give you a little bit more of a historical understanding of what Jesus is trying to say. Now remember, the third question I said you need to ask is, what's the main point of Jesus's, the main point of the story, right? I'm going to go ahead and give it to you, okay? So you don't have to wait in suspense, because really what we want to talk about is the after. All right, here's the main point of the story. The kingdom of God, this is in your notes, the kingdom of God operates on impartiality, not entitlement. The kingdom of God operates on impartiality, not entitlement. All right. Y'all ever watched any of those kingly, royal documentaries or like docudramas? And what are the people, who gets to see the king? The people with titles, right? And I remember I watched one a while back. I don't even remember which one it was. And this guy comes in and it's some British docudrama, you know, loosely historical thing, and the guy comes in and I'm the Duke of York. Arr! And everybody's like, I don't care, I'm the arr! And they're like, who's got the biggest title? And my family has had this for five generations. You're like, well, whatever, who cares? Get on with the story. You know, but that's how it works, right? You know, if you haven't, go watch one. It's Duke this and Lord this and Duchess that and hun, you got titles and names, and if you don't have a title and name, well, you just some of the sorry folks like me, right? You all the rest of us, you know, you just get kind of the scraps left over because that's how it works. But Jesus says his kingdom doesn't run on entitlement. It runs on impartiality. And let me show you what I mean. We love the impartiality of the kingdom when we are the 11th hour workers. Now, let me show you what, let me kind of back up one more step before I get into that. Let me say, when Jesus is telling this parable, each person equates to somebody. So the master is obviously relating to God. The all-day laborers are those people who've been in the kingdom a long time. Now you say, well, how long is a long time? A long time. I don't know, right? The all-day workers are the disciples in the story. Right? The 11th hour workers are anybody who's fresh and new and has just become a part of the kingdom of God. Right? So, most of you in here, or if you've in here, had a relationship with the Lord for any long period of time, you're an all-day worker. If you've just come to faith in Christ and this is still new and fresh to you, you're an 11th hour worker. You say, I haven't been a Christian for decades or a Christ follower for 40 or 50 years, then you're somewhere in the middle. Okay? So, but all of us love the impartiality of the kingdom when we're the 11th hour worker. And let me show you how. We love that God found us. You say, wait a minute, God found us? Let me tell you why. Because all of us were like the workers in the market. What were the workers in the market doing? That Jesus tells us. They were doing this. Because the master comes in and he says, what are you doing? You've been standing idle all day. That's what you and I were doing. We weren't looking for God. God came looking for us. We were standing idly by in the market. And then God sought us out. And he sent us in to his work. And when we were the new in the kingdom, and we were the 11th hour workers, fresh in the kingdom, man, we came in with vibrancy, and man, we were just happy to be there. Because we remembered a month ago, we was lost, hopeless, nothing to do, with nothing good going on in our life. Every decision we made led to heartache, and we were just going through the motions of life. And so when you're the 11th hour worker, listen to me, you love the impartiality of the kingdom because God found you when you didn't even know you needed to be looking for him. And he got you and wrapped you up out of all of the misery and the heartache and everything going on in your life. And he sent you into his kingdom. Here's the other reason. I know that you loved the impartiality of the kingdom when you were the 11th hour worker. Because listen to me, what does Jesus say the master keeps doing? Finding more people. Think about this for a minute. What if God up in heaven, and this applies to all of us, what if God up in heaven, the moment before you came to faith in Christ, what if 2 moments before that, God said, I got enough, I'm good. Guess what? You and I wouldn't be here today. But because God keeps going out and keeps going out and keeps going out and keeps going out and finding more people and more people and more people, it doesn't matter what age or how long you've been a Christ follower, you're here because the master is impartial and keeps bringing more people in to his kingdom, even when they didn't even know they needed to be in his kingdom, right? And that's why you and I are here today, because the kingdom operates on impartiality. Now, remember, I said there was a fourth question, right? So, you need to know what stories are around this story. You need to know What's going on in the story that I need to know more about? We've already talked about that. We need to know what the main point of the story is. We've already talked about it. The kingdom runs on impartiality, not entitlement. But the fourth question I said you need to ask yourself this morning is this. What point is Jesus trying to make to the disciples? Which is, what point is Jesus trying to make to us today? All right, you ready? What was Peter's question again? But Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. The point Jesus is trying to make to Peter and the rest of the disciples is, if we're, listen to me, if we're not careful, the longer we work in the kingdom, the more entitled we become. The longer we work in the kingdom, the propensity becomes greater, the likelihood becomes greater that we will fall into entitlement. And I'm going to give you two examples. I could give you more, but we've only got time for two. That show you how 11th hour workers are just glad to be there. But the longer we're in the kingdom, the higher likelihood we have. We don't have to become entitled. You don't have to. I don't have to. But we're more likely to become that way. I'm going to give you two examples. And I've heard these in every church. So this is not against you. It's against church people, all day worker people. All right? So if you fall in this category, this is like a shotgun. It's going to hit all of us. Number one, I have never heard this statement from an 11th hour worker. Pastor, I've served long enough. It's time for somebody else to do this job. I've been serving. It's time for the young folks to step up. Listen to me. I have never, ever, I've been doing this. This year will be 20 years I've been doing ministry. 20. I have never, ever in my life heard an adult, much less a teenager, tell me, I've done this long enough. It's time for the young folks to do it. Or them folks to do it. Or those folks. That nebulous group of people who exist somewhere in the nether space. Right? But you want to know who I've heard it from? All day workers. At every church I've been at. All day workers. You want to know why? Because listen to me. Here's the attitude, if we're not careful, us all day workers take. And I'm throwing myself in this category too. I've been out here bearing the heat of the day for a decade, for 40 years, for 30 years, for 50 years, for 70 years, and I'm tired. It's hot, and I'm ready to quit. Let's be honest. Hey, look, me and my dad yesterday got up, went to Max and ate breakfast. Should have started earlier, but we didn't. And guess what we did? We went and worked on my lawnmower. We had to do everything to get it ready for the cutting season. Then we worked on my tractor, which has been down for 6 weeks. Praise God, I finally got it running. I'm praying, Lord, it keeps running. And then we started working on a golf cart. And we cut off. You know what time we cut off? 9 o'clock. I was tired. I didn't want to do anything. Glad y'all didn't need me at the hospital. I'd have probably, I don't know about this. I needed a shower. I was hungry. I was ill because I was hungry and I was tired. And if we're not careful, guess what? That's how we get in church too. Because, Pastor, I've been doing this all my life. Which isn't that what Peter's saying? Jesus, we left everything. Them folks over there just started. I left a successful fishing business. I left my father on the side of the shore to come follow you. And Jesus is like, time out. My kingdom doesn't work on entitlement. It works on impartiality. So go get back out there. Which is exactly what Jesus would say to us today. Or whoever would make that claim. Oh, wow, I didn't know there was retirement in the kingdom. Right? Let me give you another example. This is going to really hit home today. Whew. All right, here we go. Music. Listen to me. I've yet to hear from a 11th hour worker. Pastor, I ain't liking songs today. When y'all going to sing my favorite song? Y'all ain't singing hymns enough. Y'all ain't singing contemporary songs enough. Y'all ain't singing this kind of song. Look, I have envy. Not envy. I have pity for worship pastors. Because you know what, Pastor Joe, I don't know if you ever heard this. I ain't yet to hear this preaching. Hey, can you pick a different text?
Like, nobody ever says that because it's like, it's the Bible. I can't change it. Like, you know, but worship pastors, man, they got it in because you can sing Amazing Grace 15,000 ways. And some people are going to like it and some people... Did you know that you can sing Amazing Grace to House of the Rising Sun by the Animals? You can. It sounds awesome. I'm telling you what. And some of you are like, that's sacrilege. That's a devil song. I'm telling you, you can sing. But see, you know what? Some people, you'll walk away today, and it's fine, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Some of you are going to walk away and say, I didn't really like the music today. Guess what? Some days, I don't like the music either. It's okay, because you know what? I've never had what I'd really like in church. Can I tell you what I'd really like? I know some of y'all going to walk away. I knew there was something wrong with him. I just couldn't put my finger on it, but now I know. Because you know what I'd love to have in worship? It'd be like Sandy Patty singing AC/DC style music to like Via Della Rosa. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, but man, it would be awesome. See, if I was a worship pastor, here's what I would do. We would have stringed instruments. Y'all know I'm getting ready because I'm moving my stand out of the way. I would have stringed instruments everywhere. Everywhere. We'd have acoustic guitars over here, and we'd have a mandolin and a banjo over here, and then we'd be like Lynyrd Skynyrd and have three electric guitars, and buddy, they'd be wailing it out, just wow, right? And then we'd have a bass, and then we'd have a drum kit, and I mean, there would be cymbals galore, like every cymbal they made, we'd have, and it would just be cymbals everywhere, and drums. I mean, he could just like 360 around and just play drums all the way around, and then we'd have a keyboard. That's the keyboard, that's it. And then stringed instruments and drums everywhere. And we'd come in and the last song would be some like, you know, like one of those terrible, godforsaken, you know, like heavy metal song. Not heavy metal, but like, you know, like Freebird style or like AC/DC or like, you know, Guns N' Roses or something like that. And man, right before I'd walk up, the guy on the guitar, one of the three, you know, I mean, they'd be really into this epic guitar solo. And right before I walked up to preach, one of them just hit this like long, just like, wah! And then everybody go, wah! And I'd walk up and go, yes! Turn in your Bibles! See, that's what I would like. Now, some of y'all are going to walk away like, that might be kind of terrible. And I agree with you, it might be. And I told Holly, she's like, oh, God, that sounds awful. So, you know, there's no hope with Holly. I'm not sure there's a whole lot of hope with you guys. But anyway, but here's the thing. Guess what? I've never heard that in church. The closest I've ever heard is Skillet at the State Farm Arena, and that sounded like a little oh, right? So I got a choice every Sunday. You ready? Now y'all know what style of music I like. Throw a little country in there, a little bluegrass. I'm fine with that. You know, we mix it up a little bit. But I got a choice to make every Sunday. Am I going to be entitled or be impartial? And you do too. Every Sunday, you have the choice, because a lot of us in here are all day workers. And if you're not, don't become one. Because you got a choice to make about music, about serving, about giving, about opportunities, about VBS, about children's ministry. We need more people to work in children's ministry, frankly. Just being honest. And so you got a choice. And I got a choice. Am I going to sit here and go, I didn't play my favorite song. Why is the preacher always asking for money and people to serve in children? I hate children. You can be entitled. You can be entitled, but I would remind you of what's on the screen behind us, what Jesus said. The last will be first and the first will be last. Because see, if you're waiting on the kingdom to run off your entitlement, friends, you're going to be waiting a while. Because listen to me, frankly, Jesus says you're entitled to a couple things. You ready? For he'll never leave you. Amen. Right? He will send you his Holy Spirit. Yes. That currently he is preparing a place for you in heaven. Yes. And for one day he will come back to get you. Yes. So if your entitlements, listen, and you might can find a couple other, but they're going to all center around that right there. If you're expecting more entitlement than those four things, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen in the kingdom. It doesn't revolve around you, and it revolves around him. And for us as a church, it revolves around the people who aren't here yet. So you got a choice. You got a choice. All of us have a choice today. Because at some point, the longer we walk with Jesus, the likelihood that we will turn into all-day laborers who feel entitled becomes increasingly greater the longer we're in the kingdom. And so you got a choice. You say, well, Pastor, what do I need to do? Well, you can either do one of two things. You can either embrace entitlement and be miserable and always be a complainer and be a death breather and a life sucker. Or you could choose to embrace impartiality, which is exactly what you, listen to me, which is exactly what you did and I did and we did when we were 11th hour workers, because we still remembered what it was like to be waiting in the market with no hope and no life and just waiting to die. So you got a choice. You and I can either embrace entitlement or embrace impartiality. But know, listen to me, but know that no matter which one you embrace, the kingdom of God runs off impartiality, not entitlement. So it doesn't matter what you choose in some sense for the kingdom, for the macro kingdom perspective. God's not changing just for you or me. He's going to keep doing what he's doing, and God's going to keep bringing more people in and going out and bringing more people in and going out and bring more people in, right? So you can choose entitlement. You actually have that ability. Now, just know that you'll never be all that God wants you to be, and that you'll stop at that point from going forward with him. Or it may be minuscule, minute bits, because you're going against the way the kingdom is set up to operate. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live like that. So here's the last question I'll leave you with. How do we make sure we don't become entitled? I'm going to give you two things that come directly out of this parable that are for all workers, no matter what stage you're in. But here's how you and I can help prevent from becoming an entitled all-day worker. Number one, application, go-home point, idea number one is this. Remember, God called laborers, not loafers. He didn't say, hey, go sit around in the kingdom. He didn't say, go take a seat right and you walk in the vineyard. He said, no, go work. Listen to me. In my life, the moments when I become a loafer and not a laborer is the moments I think I'm more entitled than I am. Listen to me. God called laborers, not loafers. Can I get real personal with you here for just a moment? Real specific. Some of us in here today, over the last year, have become loafers. And we've had a phenomenal excuse. Because, right, we can blame anything on COVID. And everybody goes, oh, okay. Well, I can't serve with kids because of COVID. Oh, okay. Oh, I can't do this because of COVID. Oh, okay. Guess what? I'm not trying to make a statement about coronavirus. I'm just saying. God called laborers, not loafers. Laborers, not loafers. And here we go. Point number two. How do you not become an entitled all-day laborer? Remember, God knows when it's quitting time. And he's the one who says so, not you or I. The more I and you and we get into loafing mentality, guess what we want God to do? Call it quitting time. But God calls it quitting time for you and I when we leave this earth. And until then, he has called us to labor in some way, shape, or form. Now listen to me, I completely understand that as you get older, your gifts change, you get better at things, you get worse at things, your passions change. And so you may not work in the exact same area of ministry from the day Christ saved you to the day you go home. That's cool. Don't loaf. Don't quit early. Jesus is the one who knows. God's the one who knows when it's quitting time. Not you, not me. Don't give up, right? Because you don't want to be entitled. You want to embrace impartiality in the kingdom so that even though you are an all-day laborer, you can have the heart of an 11th hour laborer who just keeps on working because we're just glad to be there because God called us to labor, not to loaf. And one day, God will ring the bell, and it'll be quitting time for all of us. And then we'll get to go enjoy life with him forever after. And what a glorious day that will be. But until then, God called us to labor, and that's you and me, wherever God's called us to serve. All right? All right. Pray with me. Lord,
Thank you for this wonderful, glorious day that you have given us. Thank you for who you are, for all that you're doing in our hearts and lives. Lord, we love you and praise you. Lord, we thank you that you continue to bring people in to your kingdom. Lord, that's why we're here. Lord, that's why we're still here on this earth as well. That's why this church is here, to be your vessel, to be your outpost in this region, so that more people might know the loving grace and mercy and holiness that you offer. And so, Lord, I pray that we would continue to labor, Lord, that we would not loaf. Lord, that we would remember we don't get to call it quits. You only know when quitting time is. And Lord, while we still have life and we still have breath, Lord, you've called us to work in your kingdom. And so, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be entitled, but Lord, that we would embrace impartiality. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Hey, thank you so much for being here today. Don't forget, on your way out that door, there's a sign-up sheet for VBS that will be June 6th through the 10th. And so you want to be a part of that. We need your help. And then don't forget, ladies, next Saturday is the ladies ministry event. So there's some information on the table as well. All right. Pastor Jacob's going to close us in prayer, and we'll be done for the day. Hope you have a great, great rest of the week.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.